Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 104.7 WHUP LP Hillsborough, this is She and Her.
She and Her.
I'm Anita Rao.
And I'm Sandra Davidson. Welcome back to She and Her. Anita, you know tonight is a very special night, don't you?
I don't know why it is so special, Sandra.
Because this is our last show before the end of the year.
That's true.
And it's our eighth show, and it is also Anita's birthday week, so.
That is true.
I'd like to take this moment to wish Anita a very happy birthday and a most wonderful 27th year of her life.
Thank you, Sandra.
Yes.
Very much appreciated.
Well, so as many of y'all know, music is a really important part of every episode of our show. After every live portion, we ask our guests to tell us what they're listening to and what music inspires them. And we do this because we believe that music tells a story about who we are and what we love. On today's show, we take that one step further and bring you a full episode about women in music. We'll talk later with Sarah Fuller, the lead singer from Seagulls, a rock band from Durham, but we start first with the story of Girls Rock NC, an organization that empowers girls and women through creative expression.
So Girls Rock NC is a part of a national coalition of organizations that evolved from Riot Girl, a feminist punk rock movement of the early 1990s. Riot Girls used their music to address issues of patriarchy, queer identity, female empowerment, and gender equality. And Girls Rock camps continue in that tradition. They hold summer camps and year-round workshops that provide open spaces for gender nonconforming and trans youth and encourage girls to be creative and confident members of their community.
We're joined first by Collier Reeves. Collier has been working with Girls Rock NC for 5 years and is currently the executive director of the organization. Collier, welcome to She and Her.
Thanks for having me, y'all.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Yeah, I'm really, really grateful to be here.
Good.
Share space with y'all.
So we would love to start with you just giving us a bit of an overview about what Girls Rock is. And we mentioned a sort of a brief history at the beginning, but any more about that that you'd want to elaborate?
Yeah, I mean, Girls Rock is a music empowerment program for women, girls, gender nonconforming, and trans youth. We run mostly, like you were saying, week-long rock and roll camps for folks. And we also have adult programs. We have after-school programs. The whole thing, you know, is about music and empowerment and creative collaboration and self-determination. And it's a pretty incredible and powerful program.
So can you tell some of our listeners what a Girls Rock camp, a week of camp is like?
Oh, yes. Yes. It's the best week of the year. So campers come and they pick instruments, they form bands. This is just a real short of it. They write original songs and then they have a show at a local venue at the end of the week. Throughout the week, we have workshops like body confidence, self-defense, media literacy, intersectional feminism.
And how old are the campers?
Our campers range in age from 7 to 16, and then we have teen mentors, 16 to 18, and then, you know, we also have adult programs 18 and up.
Okay.
So, yeah. So those are big conversations to have with young people, and it's pretty incredible.
I mean, I can't say that I had those conversations.
I didn't either. I know. And I think, like, so many people that are involved with Girls Rock NC are just floored by that Because those are things that we're working through and talking about as adults and discovering and like pushing ourselves to learn more. And so to like be in a space where we can kind of like help curate and facilitate those conversations with young folks, we're like, gosh, where was this when I was a kid? You know? And so like, that's part of the reason that so much, that we all feel so like led to continue doing the work that we do with Girls Rock.
Yeah.
So.
Can you talk a little bit more about the role music has in Girls Rock?
Well, yeah, I can, actually.
Awesome. We were hoping you could.
Yeah. Music at Girls Rock Camp is really a vehicle through which we, like, have our young folks come together and practice working together in a group, learning how to communicate. You know, if they learn an instrument, awesome. But, like, there is no idea of, like, what level they have to get to. You know, if it sounds cool to them, then awesome. Like, we're working really hard to undermine expertise. You know, like, so often folks of marginalized genders are like told and like think that they have to fit this certain thing to be a musician. And like, as a person who has been playing music all their life, I've like had a hard time getting to a place where I've felt confident enough in my abilities to play out. And it's become, you know, it's taken me to until being an adult and even working with Girls Rock to get to that point, you know, to have that supportive community. So, like, our biggest music is a really important vehicle for sharing those ideas and offering space for folks to grow individually and together. Yeah.
Well, we want to talk more about that in a second, but we want to give people a sense of what some of these girls sound like. So we have a clip from one of the groups from this past summer of them performing at Motor Co. And y'all can hear a bit of the Girls Rock sound. So that is a clip from the Girls Rock NC band Silent Skies Sleepless Lullabies performing at Motor Co. in Durham this summer. So, Collier, can you tell us more about that group in particular, and are they representative of the Girls Rock sound?
You know, every band is so unique and different. You know, like, the youngest set will often sing about food or puppies. And then the teenagers, like, really start digging into some real issues. You know, they talk a lot about things that they experience in school, in life, sexism, racism, you know, like, just the patriarchy in general. So in that way, yes, it is pretty representative of, like, the Girls Rock sound, if there is one. But, you know, each band is so different. We have campers that, like, write country songs, and some that write punk songs, and some that, like, write rocks, you know, anthems like that. You know, it spans the interests.
The genre horizon.
Yeah, the genre horizon. Thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And well, yeah. When you say words, like, so we've been saying words like patriarchy and capitalism, and as Sandra said, you know, I think when I was 7 or 8, I probably did not know what those mean. How do you begin that conversation and get people to start unpacking what these huge ideas might mean?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And that is also really dependent upon the age group and the energy and the, like, a lot of our teenagers are already having these conversations. So they come in to this space, like, ready to lead a workshop. And in that case, we kind of like help facilitate them taking on that role. With the younger folks, it's a different conversation. And I don't have a really solid answer for that right now. But it is like, it's just, it is so dependent upon, it's very situational.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm like digging back right now. I'm like, how did we do that? But it's a lot of planning and trying to make ideas accessible and digestible in a way of, like, we don't approach things in a super academic way. We try to have, like, really ready, easy examples of, like, what is the situation of sexism that you have experienced? You know, like, a boy gets picked first for a sports team or something, you know, like,
sure.
and that's like thinking of younger folks. But you know, it's just trying to make, relevant examples to where our kids are, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of an interesting testament because I'm sure for you, it makes you reflect on how those types of things, the patriarchy itself, starts playing out that young.
Yeah.
At that point in somebody's life.
Yeah, totally. Which is, it's like, it is so interesting to start having conversations like that with young people, especially like our smallest gender nonconforming young people who, you know, are like, this is the name that I want to go by. This is the gender pronoun that, like, I want to use. And it's like, dude, you know, or something like that. And, you know, and we just, like, we make space available for them to explore that. And then just to talk, you know, hear about the things that they experience. A lot of what they talk about is stuff that they experience in school, because that's, you know, one of the biggest parts of their lives right now. And I forget that because it's not a part of my life, except through them. But, you know, just to hear about, like, things that are accessible to them and things that aren't because they're girls or they're like female socialized or, you know, so, or the things that they think they can do and the way that they approach stuff because of those reasons, you know.
Sure. So, well, tell us more about, I mean, some of our listeners may not understand what it might look like for there to be a gender nonconforming 8 or 9 year old or an 8 or 9 year old that identifies as trans. Can you tell us a bit about how you all intentionally create a safe space for those type of kids and sort of what you're seeing there?
Yeah. Well, so we do a lot of different things. And number one, we're not school. Okay. So here at Rock Camp, we're all about self-determination. And so from the get-go, we make that very plain. Campers come in, they get a blank name tag, they get to put whatever name they want to be called, their gender pronoun on there. And we talk about pronouns and, you know, for our youngest set, it's, you know, who knows what a pronoun is? And then, you know, we have some really, like, grammar fanatic young people that are like, I do, and they want to tell us. And so we go through the whole thing of, this is what a pronoun is, and guess what, you get to choose. And some people are like, okay, she, her, they, them, he, him. And some people are like, kitty cat. And so, like, and that's okay at Rock Camp. And what makes that okay is that we're building a culture around self-determination and consent. And the one of the biggest things that we do to make that real and realized is that we do group agreements. And group agreements are basically the campers are making the rules. And we help, you know, guide and facilitate that process. And, like, we'll throw in stuff like step up, which is the idea of, like, if you're used to listening more, step up your speaking skills. If you're used to talking a lot, step up your listening skills. Stuff like be inclusive. And we'll use, like, cute things like be a croissant, not a bagel, because croissants are open and bagels are closed.
I can tell you that was not happening at 4-H camp.
Well, so it wasn't happening
nothing,
at so many
know,
of
no,
things that,
no,
like,
shade on 4-H camp.
Yeah, no, 4-H is a bomb. But, so many places, you know, it's not about, like, setting the culture together. Like, it's not about consent, you know, in that way. And so it's about respect and respecting each other's identities and respecting each other's space and, like, the campers bring stuff like, listen, be brave, like, try new things, like, support each other, stuff that's so huge and important, especially in a space where it's, like, inherently vulnerable to be in a group of brand new people where you're being asked to do something huge. Like, learn an instrument, maybe you've never touched an instrument before, write a song together, and then you're going to perform it. You know, like, that's huge.
I think I need to go to Girls Rock Camp.
I think you do, too.
Come on. Come on.
Well, so now we're going to invite Cameron Laws onto the show and into the conversation with us now. Cameron is an artist and musician who volunteered with Girls Rock NC last summer. And as a side note, she's also the very same Cameron Laws who produced our theme music for our show. And Cameron, we'd love for you to talk a little bit about your experience at Girls Rock and how did you get involved and why?
Well, actually, kind of a funny story is, so I was working at this, like, pay the bills corporate job, and I got laid off, and the day I got laid off, I had tickets with my boyfriend and our friends to Sleater-Kinney, and we went, and there was a Girls Rock tent there, like, right beside the line, and I saw it and kind of didn't think anything of it. And actually, my boyfriend was like, hey, one of them just came up to me, and they said that they need girls that rock, and, like, that's you. And I told them you play guitar, and I'm just saying you're about to have a lot of free time. And so I kind of just – and I'm the first person to be like, well, I don't really play guitar, but even though I do.
See,
but, yeah, exactly. It's a strange thing. And so I just kind of went for it and said, okay, sure, I'll do 5 weeks of it. And it was awesome. And actually, even saying that I'm the first person that says I don't play guitar is, even in that 4 weeks, that completely changed, because it was like, I'm teaching people guitar. You have to know how to play guitar to teach guitar. Yeah. So it was really cool. We talk about the campers having these transformative experiences, but it's really not isolated to the campers. Mm-hmm. It's also the volunteers that have that as well.
Well, tell us about that, because Sandra mentioned, you know, she went to 4-H camp, and I know that y'all both grew up in a pretty rural area. Totally. What would it have been like for you to have had something like this growing up? Did you have anything at all similar?
I've thought about that, because, I mean, I'm really not exaggerating when I say I can't imagine what it would have been like to have this, because even, I think I got a guitar when, I don't know, I was 13 maybe, but everyone I knew that played guitar throughout my life is, you know, they were just really good, and it was kind of intimidating, and it was always like, well, I play guitar, but I can't keep up with my friends that do. But if I had been at Girls Rock as a younger person, and, you know, been made to do that and go through that and work through everything that comes with being in a band and then creating something together and then performing it on a real stage, you know, like we play at Motorco and at King's and stuff like that, I really can't imagine what it would have done. But I love that, even though I didn't have that in my childhood, that we can give that to other people, and that's like the powerful thing about it, for sure.
Well, and I can say, after hearing you speak a little bit more about it, Collier, where we grew up, we didn't have after school programming or anything like that, even asking us to consider, you know, how do we think about ourselves and our relationship to the world. And that is super unique.
And it's just so wild it's wild to me that that's a new concept, to ask young people what they think, you know, like, it's just, they're so smart. They're so intuitive. Like, and we don't, you know, just in, normative culture, there's not space for them to, own that, you know? And that's crazy.
Collier, you play music as well. What would it have been like for you? Or did you have something like Girls Rock when you were coming up?
No, I mean, there wasn't anything like Girls Rock for me when I was coming up. I played in a band in high school. It was an all-girl band, and that was awesome. So I had my own, like, small experience in that way that was really powerful. But I still, you know, I still struggled through, like, self-worth and adequacy issues around my musicianship, you know? It's taken, you know, honestly, Girls Rock has been huge for me as far as, like, being able to own the fact that I am a musician, you know?
Totally.
I've been playing music for 20 years.
Why do you think it is different for women in music?
Oh, gosh. I just, you know, there's just not as much access or space for women, and, you know, and it's just like, it's the, it's the micro hits that you take. It's like, oh, you play that? Or are you the roadie? Or you're selling merch? Can I carry that for you? You know, it's like those little things that it's like, just, they make you so mad, but also at the same time, it's just like taking your legs out from you a little bit at mm-hmm. a time, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot, I think that there's a lot more reasons than just those that mm-hmm. It's hard for women and other, like, trans and gender nonconforming folks to have space in music. I think, like, thinking also about young folks and them not necessarily having a voice or being asked what they think or feel, it's like, okay, young people, kids are supposed to be quiet. And, like, women are supposed to fit in this role. And that's not necessarily on a stage playing, shredding a guitar, you know, or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, and it's that there's even, like, the category of women in music, you know?
Right.
It's,
yeah.
It's
like, what's the distinction? Band? It's just a band.
Like, I was in a record store in Savannah that I will not call out because they are a great store. And they had all, you know, genre, and then they had a row that was girl bands.
My God. Wow.
And actually, Sam saw it and was like, check this out. Like, can you believe this place has this? And
holy,
I was like,
cow.
What is this about? Like, what? Since when is that a genre? And it wasn't even necessarily all girl bands. It would be like a girl lead singer. You know, like Blondie was in there.
Wow.
It was strange. Yeah. And in a really forward thinking kind of, you know, independent record store that you wouldn't expect that in.
That's a subtle, not so subtle hit.
Can I say something that might be kind of like controversial to this conversation?
This is Sarah Fuller.
Oh,
she is the guitarist and songwriter for the band Seagulls, and she's going to be joining us for some music and conversation in a moment. But she's in the studio, and this is what do you have to say?
This is something that I think about, and I would like to hear y'all's opinion of it.
With that thought in mind of women in music, and you're not into that, right? Nor am I. When my band gets asked to do things that are all female shows, that's something that I generally want to steer clear of, because I just want to be a band. Just like you said, Collier, like, we're not a girl band. We actually have a person who has a penis in our band, which I said that to somebody recently when they asked us to play a show 2 weeks ago. I said, but Duncan has a peen. And joking, you know, because I'm like trying to figure this out and like trying to make light of it, you know, and even Daddy Issues, the first time that I ever conversed with them, they asked us to play a show, and now I'm great friends with all of them. They wanted to have an all female show, and it was when Daddy Issues was first starting out and Seagulls was first starting out, and I just said, you know, I really appreciate the offer, but we just don't want to do stuff like that. We just want to be a band, and we don't want to be seen to be like this. Those are the shows that we play. We just want to be asked to play shows because we're a band, you know? And I understand that that might not be like the most popular thing for me to say in this conversation right now, but I just want to know what y'all think about that.
Well, I can totally understand that. And I guess my question to you is, as an individual, do you relate to some of what Collier and Cameron are talking about, this notion? Like, tell me about your journey to becoming a musician, and did you feel, were there particular parts about being a woman that make you feel like it took longer for you to get where you are?
There are parts of that, but I don't think that that's like my entire journey,
sure.
Nor do I think that Collier or Cameron thinks that that's their entire journey. There have been like things that have been said to me, or the way that I started playing music might have been different. I totally realized that had I been a male. But it is very hard for any human being to really be able to put that on a graph and say, this is because of this. And this is because of that.
Sure.
You know, so these are things that I think about a lot. And I am very much in favor of, you know, the opportunities that Girls Rock affords to people. At the same time,
I have like a inner conflict about I just want to be a band.
Sure.
I just want to be a musician. And I think that that's probably something that a lot of people think about.
Yeah, I want to turn over to them in a second, but I...
Sorry.
No, that's great. Thought. And I mean, I think for me, I would hope that it would be a both and, you know, mm-hmm. it's that like, because there are a lot of barriers for women entering the field, we need to intentionally cultivate spaces where mm-hmm. they can feel that freedom and they can feel that support. And we want women to be considered as just a band like anyone else. But because we're not there yet, in many ways, we have to be intentional about illuminating what those barriers are. And I would say, I mean, that for us is sort of a driving reason why we're intentional about saying this is a show about women in music. So we want to talk specifically about how gender shapes women's experiences of being in music, which, yeah, it's not, it's definitely not your entire experience, but mm-hmm. in some ways it could inform how you enter and experience that world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you kind of, it's a double-edged sword because to sort of be an ambassador of saying there is no difference, et cetera, you have to acknowledge that there is a difference, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's like to get to that point, you have to acknowledge and then sort of prove why it's not the case, you know, which is a thin line to walk for sure.
Kali, do you have anything to add?
I don't know. I'm not playing for anybody really except for myself and my people, mm-hmm. you know, and like love for people to enjoy it, but it's not about them, you know. I also really feel like women should be respected for their musicianship and should not be like held to different standards as from their male counterparts. That's bananas. I also, just as like a queer person and female socialized person, like love to be in those spaces. You know, like I love shows where other queer identified folks are playing shows, where other women are playing shows. Like those feel like the most powerful to me, because for me, music is like just and also me being who I am as like a genderqueer musician, it just is like inherently political for me. So it's like, screw it, I am just a band, you know, like, and you can interpret that however you want, but like the next step for me is just owning that.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, with anything, I guess there's so many ways to slice it, right? Like your gender identity is one of many identities that intersect with many others.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
You know, we're slicing to say, you know, what is it to look at gender in music? But there's also so many other things shaping your musical performance or how people see you as a band.
Well, thank you guys so much. And Sarah, I'm so glad you jumped in on the conversation.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you guys sharing your experiences. And we are now going to turn to Seagulls. But before we close out, that was Collier Reeves and Cameron Laws, the executive director and a volunteer for Girls Rock.
So we're going to play a little bit of transition music here. This is Boss Hog by Seagulls. And Sarah Fuller will be joining us in just a second. Stay tuned.
Sitting at your desk and you look like such a mess. At your desk, old macaroni in a crusty little dish. At your desk, it's the same as it ever was, same as it ever was. I'll go fetch some copies while you sit and take a rest. Let me guess.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to She and Her. You just heard the song Boss Hog by the emerging rock band Seagulls. Seagulls came out with their 9-track debut album, You Can't See Me, earlier this year and is planning to release a new record this spring. And we're joined in the studio today by the band's guitarist and songwriter, Sarah Fuller, who you met earlier. Sarah, welcome to She and Her, officially.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So we'd love to know a bit more about your story. We know you've been playing the guitar since you were a teenager, but Tell us a bit about how you came to play that instrument and why you chose a guitar.
Oh, yeah, sure. I started playing when I was 15. I was really lucky. I wanted to play forever and ever and ever. I grew up with my dad. My dad always played guitar. And I asked my dad, teach me how to play guitar. Teach me how to play guitar. From the time I was really, really little. But my mom called me on my 15th birthday, and I was staying over at a friend's house. And she said, meet us at Harry's Guitar Shop. You can pick out whatever guitar you want. And so I did that. And the school that I was going to at the time, I went to St. Mary's for 1 year when I was a junior in high school, and they had private lessons. And, I mean, you can't get much better than that. Like, I mean, I was spoiled, you know. This teacher from Duke would come over, and I learned some classical guitar stuff, learned a lot of Beatles, and was super into Jewel then. And
pre-country Jewel.
Yeah, I wanted to be just like Jewel, pieces of you, Jewel, and that's why I got a blue guitar.
So you didn't start writing songs until much later.
No, I didn't. A funny story, this sort of frenemy of mine, this woman who had dated a guy had cheated on me with, right? Their relationship ended, and we were at a party. This woman and I were at a party, and she said, Sarah, I know that you play guitar. We should play music together sometime. She had a great voice. And I said, yeah, sure, whatever. You know, that's going to happen. A few nights later, I went home, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to show her. Mm-hmm. I can write a good song. And so I wrote You Can't See Me, which is the single on our EP. And then I just started writing songs from there.
Well, we have You Can't See Me, so let's play it now so that people get a sense of what was going through your head at that time. So here's You Can't See Me from the Seagulls EP. Song You Can't See Me by the band Seagulls, and we're joined in studio by the band's guitarist and songwriter Sarah Fuller. So we've obviously been having a conversation about gender and so many other identity markers, and I know Collier mentioned that music was a political act for her. Do you see your music as a political act or as a feminist act? Do you identify as a feminist? I'm curious about sort of the intersection between your music and maybe other things you believe in, other identities.
Yeah, I absolutely identify as a feminist. I minored in women's studies when I was in college. We don't necessarily write specifically about feminism in our songs. I do write a lot about gaining an upper hand on a situation. And that can be interpreted in many different ways. A lot of times when I'm writing about those things, I'm not really... one of the new songs that we have is called It Goes Like This, and it's just about people trying to tell you that there's one way to do something. And you're saying in the song, no, actually, it goes like this. And whether or not that's men or women telling me that it goes this certain way, you know. My feminism... I don't directly try to channel into my music, but I imagine some of that comes through anyway, just because I am the person that I am.
Mm-hmm. So that song that you just mentioned is off your forthcoming album.
Yeah,
tell
we've
us
been
more
recording.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we've been recording the past couple of weekends, we'll probably. I think we're gonna have like 7 songs. That might be what we come out with. It's been a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a really fun group of songs. It's a little bit more weirdo than the stuff that we've done so far, but I'm really excited. I don't know what we're going to call it. Y'all should give me ideas.
we will solicit titles. Them from our listeners.
And when can people look
for
that?
It can be anything. It doesn't have to mean anything. I'm just kidding.
Oh. When can people expect that one to come out?
I think sometime in the spring.
Okay.
Great. Yeah.
Well, that's all the time we have for tonight. Sarah Fuller, thank you so much for joining us.
And that is our show for tonight. You can find the playlist of everything that we played on tonight's show and all of the Seagulls music at our website, sheandherradio.com, or our playlist on Spotify, She Plus Her.
And all our episodes are available on iTunes and SoundCloud. Please go listen. Tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your cousins, because I know you're going to see all of them over the holidays.
Exactly. And we are taking it off the next 2 weeks to spend time with our loved ones and get refreshed and rejuvenated. We already have a lot of great shows lined up for y'all in 2016. We can't wait to be back.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thanks so much.
Good night.